and welcome to the Brand Pelmas podcast with Louise Duffy, the podcast which introduces you to the people behind the brands from the world of fashion, beauty and beyond. In today's podcast, I am delighted to be joined by a true beauty pioneer, somebody who has made a landmark contribution to the beauty industry, Anastasia Soiree of Anastasia Beverly Hills. Anastasia single-handedly inspired an entirely new category in the beauty industry, eyebrows. Her namesake brand started in a small brow studio in Beverly Hills and is now one of the fastest growing companies in cosmetics. Hers is also one of the most followed beauty brands on Instagram with almost 20 million fans, comprising of some of the world's most famous faces. And this empire was created, in her own words, one eyebrow at a time. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Pelmas podcast. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Brand Pelmas and welcome to Ireland. It's your first, your flying visit.
Yes, I am so excited to be here and I hope I will come back and spend a little more time here.
Yeah. And what must it be like to land in a country that you haven't been in before and to have this very enthusiastic and very large fan base and come to a shop like Brand Pelmas and see your beautiful stock all here on the main floor?
But to be honest with you, I'm so connected to my fans in Ireland that I feel like I know already half of Ireland.
Well, you know, what you've done is really phenomenal. You know, right now, today, when I do my makeup, what I put on my brows is as important as the foundation I use or the lipstick that I choose. But when you started in the beauty industry, eyebrows just weren't a consideration. So how did you decide to make a change to that?
Well, I wanted to fix my own eyebrows because I realized in pictures, I looked surprised and was because of eyebrow, I realized. In art school, my teacher always, before we start to draw a portrait, he always said, hey, if you want to change an emotion, you just change eyebrows.
Okay.
You could draw the same face, but you change the eyebrow shape. So from a sad person to an angry person, you just change eyebrows. And then he was the one introduced me to the Leonardo da Vinci theory on that he applied in all his paintings, golden ratio. And eyebrow is one of the biggest feature on our face that shape properly brings balance and proportion to the face. There were no products for eyebrows, obviously, in 1990s, believe it or not. There were not eyebrows
and it's
products.
Incredible. It's such an industry.
Yes. And I was mixing eyeshadow with some Vaseline and some aloe vera gel to create this pomade. And the client will, when she left the salon, she had perfect looking eyebrows. And then the next morning, she will wash her face and they didn't have the product. So they used to come and say, well, Anastasia, my eyebrow looks amazing when I leave the salon, but tomorrow morning, what I'm going to do until I see you 3 weeks later? And this is how all started.
So
I decided to create a product line. And it was kind of a passion that I wanted to convince women. Because believe me, in the 90s, women didn't believe that they need to use powder or anything on their eyebrows. And was the Pamela Anderson look, very thin eyebrows.
Thin.
And I used to convince everybody, please, please, eyebrows should not be that thin.
Yeah.
Eyebrows should complement your bone structure and natural eyebrow shape. And I worked really hard to convince women. Well, 20 years later, everybody on the planet Earth is obsessed with eyebrows.
Yes, it's like, it's unbelievable to hear you talking about it because it's like imagining a time when lipstick wasn't invented, you know?
Correct.
It is that important to our makeup bag now to have our eyebrow products. But I also think it's really fascinating that you took a background in an education in art and architecture. You know, the link wouldn't be that obvious to somebody like me, but you used that and you translated that and your knowledge to make something that makes complete sense, really.
Well, I studied technical design for 5 years.
Okay.
And my teacher will bring like an industrial faucet on a table and we had a blackboard and he used to say, well, who is ready to, remember when I went to school, we didn't have computers. Okay. The 3D right now programs that,
I know.
It's amazing what we used to do it on a millimetrical paper, the blue print, and he used to say, "Hey, who wants to come to the table and let's see who is going to do 3D? I mean, you have to do from the top, from the front, from the side, mm-hmm. and the fourth one was a sectional. So without being cut that faucet, you had to connect the dots and create that section.
Right.
And was not that I was the smartest in the class, but I think I was able to see 3D, to have this. I think my brain was wired that way, that was so easy for me
to visualize
mm-hmm. everything. And of course, I didn't understand at mm-hmm. that time why I was the only one that will rush to do it in the class. But later on, I realized that it was so easy for me to see a person and immediately with the millimetrical change, I will know that what hair needs to be removed to look even, to be perfect, to balance perfectly the eyes without even measuring.
Yeah.
This is what kind of, this it became happened. An obsession, I yes. have to say. It became an obsession to find my personal eyebrow shape. And then with all the clients, it wasn't even, maybe for a year I didn't charge anybody. I wanted to find this formula so bad. And once I found the formula, I thought, oh my God, I need to share with everybody.
Absolutely.
This is a must. People need to understand what a huge change eyebrows, the right eyebrows will be on the face. Make,
and so then I suppose based on that and based on the golden ratio theory that you have created and patented, no eyebrows should look the same. They should be symmetrical for our face and individual to each person. So let's talk then about your move, because you were born in Romania and you moved to California. Now, that had to be a daunting move. You had a young daughter. You didn't have much English. What was that move like for you?
Oh, my God. was really incredible, I have to say. I was reflecting last week because I had a friend of mine from Romania that came and interviewed me for 3 hours. And I was reflecting on the 30 years that I lived in the United States, and I lived 30 years in Romania. Yeah. So how that really impacted my life in a way that everything that I learned in Romania, I was able, including the resilience, everything that, because it was a hardship, there were not opportunities for women there to do anything. And I came to United States and I use everything that I learned in Romania, I use and I put in practice in U.S. I could see opportunities that probably only an immigrant could see.
Yes.
I grabbed them and I didn't take no as an answer from anyone. I am not saying it was easy. It was very difficult. I left my family. I was a single mom after a while, and it was very hard. I worked nonstop.
You worked nonstop.
I felt so bad because I was never able to go to my daughter's school to, I don't know if she had a celebration or anything, because I was working nonstop. Mm-hmm. It was not easy, but I saw opportunities and I felt like I have to do it. Mm-hmm. It was the only place that I felt that I will be able to make a difference for myself and be significant, do something that I am passionate about.
And you acknowledge that wouldn't have been possible in Romania to create this success. But even in terms of as an artist, you know, artists are very much influenced by their surroundings, by the sights, the sounds, the architecture, the people. Would your aesthetic have been very different? You know, that what you've created business-wise, the size of it would have been, we know. But would the aesthetic been a different picture had you stayed in Romania?
I think I had a lot in Romania in terms of aesthetics, or I lived in Constanța. Constanța was on a peninsula where the Romans came there, and we had old museums, very old, and I was inspired by that. But being in a communist regime, it killed everything.
Everything,
it killed your spirit.
And as you say, but that instilled, on the other hand, it instilled that ethic in you and that you know, awareness of potential and possibility. It must have been overwhelming to get to America and to be able to do what you wanted to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't easy. I didn't speak the language. I didn't know the bank system, the economic system, mm-hmm. but I was willing to learn.
Yeah,
I think that was very important.
And so what were those early days, like the 90s in LA, like for you as a businesswoman starting up? So you opened up your own salon, you rented a room.
Yes.
How did you network? How did you, what kind of marketing did you use? Social media wasn't a thing. So how did your name, how did the growth begin?
So in my opinion, at that time was that I needed to get the best in what I did. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do the best eyebrows. And it didn't matter who was in my chair, from Jennifer Lopez to Elle Macpherson or the lady that saved, she was a nanny and she saved, or a student saved her money to come and get her eyebrows done. I will give her 110% mm-hmm. my attention. I wanted to do the best eyebrows. And I knew that they would be my walking advertising. They will tell their friends, they will tell their sisters, mothers. This is how word of mouth I build my business, by my ethics and my work. And then I used to go out every night to introduce myself with cards to talk about what I do and so forth. I used to have a salon across the, very close to my salon, and a hair salon. And I used to go and do eyebrows for free, whatever they needed to the hairstylist, and they will send me their clients. This is how I network.
Was there a particular point then that you knew things were going to change? Because that's hard work.
Yes.
You know, was it when a bus full of supermodels pulled up outside your salon, or was it when Vogue featured you? At what point did you think, okay, this is happening, this is getting big?
I think in 94, Marina Ross, the writer for Vogue, wrote like 2 pages of Anastasia doing eyebrows, the best kept secret in Hollywood. And in the same magazine, November 1994, was an article about Kevin O'Quinn, his first book, Making Faces. And he talked about makeup and how important eyebrows were. We had so many clients in common. And then was another article about me. And I think that point, it was the first time that the magazines and beauty, the editors, because they were not beauty editors at that time, they started realizing, wow, we should write about beauty.
Beauty as
because only
topic.
Only Allure was the magazine that wrote about beauty. And I started giving interviews, and I felt like, okay, I think this is
moving.
This is moving. And by 98, when I was on Oprah magazine, I felt like I got my Oscar.
That's amazing.
I mean, invited to do her eyebrows live was
incredible.
Incredible.
And what was a waiting list like for you?
Oh,
after
my
that?
God. I will open my schedule only 6 months in advance.
Stop.
Because if I will leave it,
three years
I will be booked.
Oh, my God.
And how do you know what you're going to do three years from now on?
So you've mentioned Oprah, you've mentioned Elle Macpherson. I know that Cindy Crawford was probably one of the first ladies to sit in your chair. You have such a huge following of famous faces.
Well, I think I'm so blessed because there were people, they were actually women that will kind of validate my work at the beginning. You know, everybody wanted to look like a celebrity. Everybody wants to know their secrets, their beauty secrets.
Yeah.
And we started with the supermodel, with Naomi Campbell, Stephanie Seymour in the 90s.
Wow.
And then it went with, God, everyone. Heidi Klum,
the Kardashians,
Sharon Stones, the Kardashians, Oprah Winfrey, as I said, Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Gardner, all the Jennifers.
Oh, what advertisements.
I mean, Penelope Cruz. It was it's such an honor to work with everyone. And hold on. And the ultimate that I'm so proud Michelle Obama, the lady, the former first lady, that is an incredible, incredible person. And I'm so honored that I was able to do her.
Do you find that a rapport develops? Because when somebody is sitting in your chair, and I do it, and we all do it, you start to talk and you start to tell stories. So friendship exists almost as soon as you're done. You've had a lovely conversation. Is that something that you enjoy very much in your job?
Oh, so much. Mm. I like to listen to the stories, because I think we women, we like to feel like somebody is listening and cares for.
Yeah.
And I really care for my clients.
Your clients.
I really care, genuinely care. And I'm always conscious of keeping their privacy and never talk anything that I talk, not even between sister. Even if I will do one celebrity and I do her sister, I never talk wherever, because it's important. This is very important.
It's the code.
It's the code of conduct in
Absolutely.
The beauty business. And I'm proud.
It's admirable. Yeah. You know, I have a little girl as well. And, you know, there's so much pressure to work and to look after your family. So it must have been really, really very tough on you to miss those special occasions and to work all hours and go out in the evening and continue to network. It has to be the greatest payoff that your daughter is now the president of your company and you guys get to work together all the time. It's just a wonderful full circle.
I have to tell you a funny story that a lot of my friends are telling me, like, well, you are so lucky that your daughter wanted to work with you. And I said, no, I didn't give her a choice. She needed to work with me because I felt so bad and I wanted to spend time with her. So she started working part-time at the salon as a receptionist. And then she, after a few years, she got finished her school and she started working at the company with the makeup company.
She's brought so much innovation to the company.
Oh my
too.
God! Yeah, she was so proud. She was the one that introduced me to Instagram. She was the one that started the whole thing.
And now, by the time we probably finished talking, you're on 20 million followers on Instagram, which is one of the most followed beauty brands.
Yes,
and I can't believe that you run it yourself and Claudia.
It's crazy.
It is crazy because I'll tell you, like, a small business would employ somebody full time to run their social media. What's that like?
Well, I'm telling you, we try. We have a social media team that is dealing with Facebook, with Twitter, with Pinterest, but
Instagram is your baby.
It's our baby, and we tried. Still, I feel like it's about us. We need to connect with our fans, and it's important to keep doing. And I have days when I'm thinking, like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm still doing this. Because you have to search. We have people that will search for the look.
Yeah.
To discover new artists, because we love to discover new artists and promote them.
And that's what you do so well on Instagram.
We love, love, love. Mm-hmm. So you could have millions or you could have 1,000. If you do a good job, we'll post you.
And I think that that's so great, because that brings a wonderful, it just brings a symbiotic nature to the industry that you're looking out for. You're helping them and you're using their wonderful imagery as well. But I do think your approach has to be so considered. Like, you have at your fingertips the population of a big country. 20 million is huge. Do you find that stressful then? Do you analyze what you say? How considered is the approach?
I think we are so organic, we are so authentic. My intentions, from the makeup to everything else, is to do my best, to do the best products. We have such good intention. I don't need to think, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What, oh my God, let me not say this or no, because we want the best for our consumer, our fans. I want to empower them. I want to give them the tool. As you know, not only we create products, but we post videos and tutorial on our Instagram, on Anastasia Beverly Hills and Anastasia Suare, my own, and Norvina, my daughter. We have our own personal one and the brand one. We want to show you how to use the products.
So
not only, hey, we have this great product.
Sell it,
because we want you to learn. Mm. We want you to find the best version of yourself by creating the best makeup for yourself or for your client if you are a makeup artist. So it's very organic for us.
That's good. So let's talk about your business principles then, because, you know, you mentioned about wanting to do the best, and that's at the very core of your business. You don't strike me as someone who worries about figures. You just worry about the product being the best it can be.
That's the most important thing for me.
Yeah.
We could do many compromises, but with the makeup, we can. Mm-hmm. We want to spend the money on the best quality raw materials, products that will give our customer the best results. Mm-hmm. Once you use our products, it will be hard to
move away.
Mm. This my concept about women is, and men, because we have a lot of customers, men. You cannot fool them. Mm-hmm. You fool them once. You can't fool them
twice.
You're
not getting them back.
No.
No.
So I always taught my daughter from the beginning, I will let you do makeup, but remember, this is the rule number one. This is our church. Mm-hmm. The best of the best.
And in terms of another business principle that you employ that I just think is so important on every level, the customer is your boss.
Always.
Yeah.
Customer is my boss. Mm-hmm. I remember many times people saying to me, well, what do you care? You're like, we have a boss. You are our boss. We have to answer to you. Like, no. You have one boss. I have many.
Yeah.
The customer, I have many.
That's stressful.
That's very stressful. They are my, and if you could hear their voice, they don't like it, something,
exactly,
they will tell you.
They're a vocal boss.
And we'll look into, mm-hmm, if we launch something and somebody will say something, we look, sometimes they are right, sometimes they are not right,
but you analyze everything.
So
then how do you maintain that customer experience and that perfection that you strive to maintain? How do you do so when you are global, when you have got, you know, you're here in Brown Thomas, you're all over the world? How do you ensure that the customer coming in the door is getting the experience that you curate, that you insist on?
Well, because I come here, I train my people, I train, like, how many founders of brands do you know going to and train their own people? There are not that many.
No.
Okay. I travel. I'm going to 5 countries right now in this trip.
To train?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And just to interact with your...
interact with my fans, to train my team. Plus, we have huge education team internationally and domestic that they need to be trained on every single thing.
The business is yours. The business is phenomenal. And, you know, to look at what you've achieved and the principles that you have are so admirable. Recently, I know just last year, for the first time ever, you invited private investment.
Yes.
What has that enabled in terms of growth and creativity?
The reason why we invited TPG to be part of our companies, we wanted to expand internationally.
Yes.
And I had to choose from operation to operate internationally is not that easy.
No.
There are many countries. Every country has a different way of doing business. TPG has 16 offices around the world.
Okay.
And it was important for us that we get that help from an operational point of view. And was important for me to be at the office, to be in the lab, to create the products, and to be the face and the voice of the product. So I had to make a conscious decision what I must do, things that only me I could do, and what somebody else.
Okay.
We could bring somebody to help us with operation. And that was the decision that...
Yeah. So what's your life in LA like now? You know, when you moved 30 years ago, were there places that you walked by and wished you could go in and
shop? God,
what's life
that's
like
so
now
funny
for you?
I mean, I lived, when I got there, I lived in a 2-bedroom, small little bedroom apartment in Sherman Oaks. And I was working on Melrose Place, my first job as a facialist. And close by was Fred Siegel, was a store. I went there in a break, because every client of mine, all the every celebrity was shopping at Fred Segal. So I went there, I walked in, and the salesperson checked me out head to toe. And she said, well, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, I work in a salon very close by, and all my clients are talking about, and I want just to see. And she kind of immediately didn't pay attention to me anymore. And then I walk around and I ask how much was a pair of something. I don't even remember, a pair of pants. And she said, well, they are too expensive. You cannot afford them.
Wow.
And I had tears in my eye. Like, why? This is not nice.
No, it's your pretty woman moment.
You are not, you don't make more money than I do, so you should be nice to me.
I know.
So
did that give you a fire in your belly?
I you know what I learned from that? And even to these days, when I train my people, I said, do not ever judge a customer. Your customer is your boss. I don't care how she's dressed. I don't care who she is. I don't care what she looks like. She has money. She doesn't have one penny. You give her 100% attention, because one day, even today, she doesn't have money. Ten years later, my daughter wanted to get a pair of jeans. She said, only, by the way, after that, I never went to shop there.
Forget it.
10 years later, she says to me, Mom, I want this pair of jeans, and only Fred Segal on Merrill's has. I'm like, I don't shop there, you know. Yes, I know, but it is the only shop. I'm like, okay, let's go. So we walk in. I'm all decked out because I had a meeting, and I felt like it wasn't the same salesperson, but the same attitude. She checks me head to toe, and she's like all sweet and honey. And she started asking me what I do. Like, you don't ask ever a customer what she does. So inappropriate. It was funny to go back and say, exactly, was the pretty woman moment.
It was,
you know,
yeah.
I could buy your entire shop, but I don't care.
It doesn't because, matter to me.
And I learned, and I always instruct my people, don't you ever, I think I learned so much from that.
You do. You have such impressive ethics. Tell me, what about the Brighter Horizons Foundation? I think this is so important because it seems to me like you give back as much as you give to your company.
Yes. So I decide to partner with a company in a foundation in LA, United Friends of Children, that they are helping children that are after 18, they are not accepted in foster home, and they guide them to get jobs. So the ones that they want to go to beauty school, they are handed to me, and we put them in a beauty school, pay for them. Then when they are finished, 9 months later, we give them supplies, we train them, whatever they need, and we try to find them jobs.
That's incredible.
And I did another interview an hour or 2 hours ago, and she asked me, what was your best Christmas? And I said, my best Christmas was when I took three of these girls that they finished the school and they got new jobs. And I asked them, what is your favorite shop? Where you want to shop? And I took them to that store, and we walked in. And I said, you go and everything you want in the store, every single thing that you want, from shoes to, and they will come like, can I get this one too? Like, I said everything in the store. And we left there with bags full. It was my favorite.
Wow.
Gift.
It's so important. That's
so
incredible.
To give is the biggest gift than to receive.
Absolutely. I feel like I've learned a lot in down talking to you.
Oh,
it's been a pleasure. Anastasia, thank you so much for coming to Brand Palmas.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Palmas podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Official Brand Palmas on Instagram for more updates.